I am incredibly excited that you guys are here. If you are a guest, thank you for being here. If you're family of somebody here, thank you for taking the time to come and worship with us. Those of you in GSM, thank you. Thank you so much for being selfless and sitting out there. These guys are very selfish, and I'm sorry for that. I can't speak for them, but I'm grateful. Hey, listen, thank you guys for just being a little bit uncomfortable today. I know this is kind of tough sometimes, and you think, man, I want to get there, but listen, more than you know, we are grateful for your kindness and that you would just say, you know what, this isn't a normal Sunday, this isn't a normal weekend, and it's a big deal, and so I want you to know that that is not lost on us, and we're grateful that you're here, and we care, and we have prayed and prepared for this weekend to serve you and to just remind you that we love you and that God loves you, and we're going to talk about that truth today. So this weekend we celebrate when justice and mercy collided. We rejoice because death has died, and we rejoice because light has crushed darkness. When Jesus rose from the dead, hope ceased to be a fanciful wish. Hope became the truth that we anchor our souls in. And our thought today is this, as you see on the screen. Since Jesus is alive, there is no distance too far, there is no darkness too dark, and there is no offense too severe. Just look at that again and think about your life and maybe where you find yourself today. Since Jesus is alive, there is no distance too far, there is no darkness too dark, and there is no offense too severe. So my desire today is to take you back to when you were a kid. Just to remind you of some things that you already know, and Easter Sunday's kind of that day that reminds us of some things. You know, for me growing up, it was the coolest, brightest shirt that my mom would buy, and it would be great, or my sister's wearing those lacy, frilly socks that flopped over their white, you know, little shoes and that type of stuff, or just trying to find your other shoe because apparently there's only one. And so here's the thing. Today, I just want to bring you back to something simplistic and remind you of something that you know and you've known since you were a kid. So recently, my wife has taken an extra job, a little side hustle, where she wakes up really early in the morning because she doesn't do enough with six kids already and teaches and this other thing. So she teaches like Chinese kids online and teaches English, which is crazy. And she does it at crazy hours in the morning because that's when they're awake and that's when we're asleep. Anyway, so sometimes what happens is our two-year-old daughter, Corbin, has this habit of waking up and realizing she doesn't like her bed. She'd prefer to be in ours. And usually when that happens, she goes over to the other side of the room, to mom's side of the bed, and Aaron goes, boom, boom, goes back to sleep, no big deal. But when mom's not there because she's outside in the shed, or her classroom, and she's out there teaching, it's up to me. And when she realizes that mom's not there, it is not cool for me. So because I don't want her to wake the rest of her brothers and sisters up, and because I want to be able to go back to sleep, I picked her up and I rested her head on my left shoulder and began to pat her, even though she was inconsolable at the time, still crying, convulsing because she's crying so hard. And then finally I began to sing. And I'll sing to you, just kidding. But just to remind you, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. And so often we get caught up in our mistakes, or we let certain circumstances define us and make us who we are for the rest of our lives, and we don't remember what we already know. We have to click the refresh button on our life just to say, you know what? I know that this is painful. I know that this circumstance, this situation is so grim, so bad, but dialing back in my memory, I remember my mom or my dad serenading me with this truth that Jesus loves me. And today, all I want to do is just bring you back to that truth, show you what it looks like in Scripture, this powerful text. And there's a lot of, you know, details to it. We're going to unpack the details. But at the end of the day, if you don't walk away with anything, just remember this, that Jesus loves you. Simple. Not because of anything you've done, not because you were attractive or winsome or had great pedigree, only because of his righteousness. Not because you made straight A's or you're Uncle Rico and you could throw the ball over the mountain. Those of you who like mild humor movies, listen, it's because of Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look in Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read through it, and I just want you just to listen to these words. Whether you have your Bible or you want to look on the screen, just walk with me through it. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved this weekend, saved by his life. More than that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Praise be to God for this. So notice here, Paul writes, he says, since we have been justified, this word justified, churchy word, I understand, but it's a word that means that we've been declared righteous. You need to understand that naturally you and I are not righteous. Naturally, we are selfish. Naturally, any righteousness that we have is one that vaults ourselves over other people as a cause for judging them as less than us. But this righteousness that we have in Christ vaults us above our selfishness and really the wrath that we deserve. We've been justified by faith as a result of this. Because of that, we have peace with God. That word peace there implies something. It implies that there is a conflict with God. It implies that we are enemies of his. If you are breathing, you have sinned. And because of that sin, you need to understand that you are his enemy. He is holy. You are a sinner. How can this be reconciled? It can only be done through Christ. Keep reading. It says it. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this next verse, how he says it. Through him, through Jesus, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, just want to pause here. Notice because of this peace, now it used to be in conflict. We used to be at war with God because we chose our way over his way. Well, now we're at peace with him because of that peace that Jesus did. Because of that, we have access with the Father now. We're able to approach him boldly because of Jesus. And notice, so formerly, if you are a sinner, you can't approach God. You have to have a mediator, one who is right, has right standing with the Father, and that's only Christ. But that's been given to us in him. Okay, so now we have access with him. But notice here, we're able to stand before him. Now, how in the world can we stand before one who is so holy? How can we stand before one who created and spoke all things into existence and could wipe us out by the word of his power? How can we do that? It's only through Christ. And so what Paul wants us to understand here in these first two verses is that our only way that we can have access to the Father, peace with God, is through this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now that's the overarching premise. Now what are some things that happen in our life as a result of following after Christ? Notice in verse 3, he says, more than that, and here's the first of four more thans in this text. It says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Who in here has really said, praise God that I had to go through all that tumult in my life. Praise God for suffering. Hooray, pain. Nobody says that. Through you. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lets us know that God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So everybody goes through suffering, but those in Christ get to see how God uses those things to produce something in us that's profitable for following after him. Notice as it goes along, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Knowing that suffering produces endurance. If you are never tested, then you don't know what it's like to push through, to go past that point, to grow and mature like you're supposed to. Usually what happens is if we hit any type of pushback in life, we just kind of fold under it. Or we make excuses and blame everybody else for it. But in Christ, we can take suffering on head on because we know that God is using it to produce in us what we couldn't naturally sign up for on our own. Doing in us what we can't do for ourselves. And so suffering comes in and it produces endurance. And endurance produces character. Character, this idea of integrity, proven character, one that is shown to have following after Christ. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Character produces hope. Character begins to see that there is no way that we can take another step without it being found in Christ. And he is our hope. Let me just tell you this. If you don't have any hope in your life, then suffering will destroy you. It will cause you to break under the pressure because you can't stand up. But notice this hope that God has put into our hearts, because character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love, listen to this, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so today, I understand that there are many of us in here that may not know much about church and what it means to follow after Jesus, but if you are a follower of Christ, you need to understand that you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has a responsibility in your life. It's basically Christ in you, and it's the hope of glory. But he reminds you that he is one who comforts, but he also reminds you that you are loved of God. Now, what Paul does is he gives that major banner principle there, and then he begins to unfold it in verses 6 and following. For while we were still weak, at the right time, and I would just add, in human history, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Not for the beautiful, the handsome. Not for those who are able to walk 1,000 old ladies across the street or pick up the most amount of trash or serve the poor. No, he died for the ungodly. Not the self-righteous older brother who's been working in the field for his father all of these years to get his father's stuff when his father dies, but for those who have run off to the foreign land, the prodigal son, he's died for the ungodly. And notice this social commentary of the world, for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. So that's the social commentary of how men would approach this. But notice what it says of God. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still contemplating ways to offend him, ways to war against him, while we still were continuing in our selfishness, in that place, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get our lives together. He took us as we were. There are times, and I was even told this as a kid, so reflecting back on me getting my little outfit for Easter, my sisters with their frilly socks, my mom would never go with us to church. And she would say, "Well, baby, I don't have anything to wear. Or baby, I got some things I need to stop doing before I can go." And if you're here today and you're just here because you promised somebody or whatever reason you're here, I want you to know that the way that God demonstrated his love to you was this. That while you were still in your funk, in your addiction, in your selfish habits, at that place, not when you got your stuff together, but in the place of your darkest, Christ died for you. He didn't wait for you to get it all together. He didn't wait for you to climb the moral ladder. He said, "I'll take you from here, as you are, unto myself. And I will give you my righteousness," which stacks up the ladder. "And it is righteous before my Father. I will take you as you are." While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the way that he showed his love. Now, I want you to see the weight of this next verse here. Verse 9, "Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood." So it was his blood that made us right. "Much more," here's the second one, "much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." You see that wrath of God? Now, many of us in our culture, we don't think of wrath being associated with God. But you need to understand that God's love has no value or worth if there's not a possibility of his wrath being shown. Do you understand that? If there's not a possibility of the antonym, the opposite of something to take place, the thing that you're hoping and clinging for in his love has no weight or value. It's meaningless. But because there is a possibility of an eternal wrath of God, when he issues his love from his son, dying on your behalf, it has incredible worth, incredible value. You want to know why when you hear that Jesus loves you, it matters to you? It's because you know that without it, you are destined for eternal hell. That's why his love is so beautiful. That's why his love is so valuable. Because of the opposite isn't what you desire, but it is what you deserve. And we need to be reminded of that, don't we? I know that isn't pretty, but it's true. "Saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son." So if we were enemies, at that time, we're reconciled by the death of his son, "much more now," even more now, it's vaulting up, more now. Here's the third one, "that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." And so here's what we need to know. Good Friday is amazing. Jesus died on the cross to ransom us, to redeem us from the penalty of our sin, right? Amazing. But do you realize Good Friday is just another day if he didn't resurrect from the grave? It's just another day if he's not alive. It doesn't even matter. Your sins aren't really paid for. You're still in your sin if Jesus isn't alive. You have nothing to hope for, nothing to look forward to if he's not alive. It was just another Friday. But let me tell you something. It's not just another Friday because he is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. In church, friends, that is good news. You're not left to the wrath of God. You're not left in your sin any longer. And here's the fourth, more than that. we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And what Paul does in a masterful way, as usual, is he takes the premise he started with, he unfolds it, and then restates it. And here's what he did. He has done this to reconcile us back to himself. So because formerly we were enemies of his, we were at war with him, he made peace, he reconciled us back to himself through the cross, and the cross has power because Jesus is alive, brought us together in him. So today, many of you came here out of a reprieve, a desire for reprieve from guilt. You're thinking, if I could just go to this one service, then God will throw me a bone. I'll have a negotiating lever with God. You need to know that will never work. The only way that you can have a reprieve of your guilt is through the righteousness of Christ, which is yours freely in Jesus. Or maybe you're thinking that your guilt, you're sitting here and you're thinking, you don't know what I've done. There's no way that my guilt can be pardoned. Let me just tell you, beloved, if he can forgive me, he can forgive you. Or maybe you just felt like your life at this state is beyond repair. But let me just tell you, Jesus is masterful with broken pieces because in him, he makes it whole. Or maybe you're thinking that your current situation is too grim, that hope can't be seen. And let me just tell you, because of the empty tomb, there's no situation too grim that he can't save. So here's the thing. I just want to remind you what we have on the screen. Since Jesus is alive, there is no distance too far. You can't go far enough to outrun the grace of God. There is no darkness too dark that his light can't shine through. And there is no sin too severe that he can't, in his grace, in his powerful, abundant love, forgive and redeem. You can't outdo him. So again, I want to remind you, as I started, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And you need to, in your head, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible, what we just read, it tells us so. Jesus loves me. And so this week, as you reflect back on what you did on a Sunday morning, finding somewhere to park out there, finding some seat in here or in the GSM room. You guys are still heroes. This week, would you just remind yourself of this truth? When you're tempted to think otherwise, when you're reminded of your circumstance and it is dark, would you just remember this? Jesus loves me. Yes, this is terrible, but Jesus loves me. Yes, life is hard, absolutely. And I don't know if my health is going to make it another day, but Jesus loves me. So let me pray for us today.